Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. It is Saturday. Snowed about an inch last night here. It was like manna. That is exactly right. The perfect food. The manna diet. If you could help me, maybe we could make a lot of money selling the manna diet. When I was a kid, we ate a lot of angel food cake. When's the last time you made angel food cake? I'd like to actually know this question. And maybe Ren or somebody watching could answer it. Why does anybody make angel food cake? Is it just cheap? Is it low-cal? Is it the kind of cake that's like, you know, brownies, right? If you don't know what to make and you just don't have any money, you make brownies. By the way, if you go to a potluck, don't make brownies. Unless it's the special kind of brownies that put in Reese's peanut butter cup chunks or, I don't know, not Skittles, but something. Brownies is kind of, are kind of the cheap way out, aren't they? Maybe angel food cake is the cheap way out. I'm not exactly sure. Well, today on No Compromise Radio Ministry, we're going to talk about Hebrews 9. But before we do that, I received in the mail, this is backwards, I think, on Facebook Live. I received this, and this is the new Christianity Today magazine, April 2019. And Red said, when it comes to angel food cake, we don't feel so fat when we eat it. Well, you know what? I've got news for you, Ren. You could just take angel food cake, slice it thinly, toast it, and then you could put a lot of butter on it. Okay? That's what my mom taught, Carla Abendroth back in Nebraska. You could actually toast things, right? You could toast things and put a lot of butter on it, and then that works out real well, right? You could even take those special cinnamon rolls you buy in stores, and you can slice them thinly and toast them and put butter on it. I guess you don't have to toast them. You can just put butter on. It's fine. I grew up in a very poor home. My grandparents were even poorer, and they didn't have butter. I mean, I don't know why you would be in Nebraska and not have butter, but it wasn't just margarine that they had. They had what? What's worse than margarine? Oleo. Remember Oleo? Now, I don't know if it was Oleo margarine that they put together. If you think it's butter, but it's not, it's Oleo. Anyway, Christianity Today. I subscribe to this, and I have to tell you, the church, I think, pays the bill. I get some kind of magazine allowance, some journal allowance. And this is actually so bad, this edition. There's nothing really even in there that I want to talk about. I mean, it's just as bad as you get. I guess the only thing that's interesting to me is there's a new movie. You know how Christians want to have movies and they want to get a bunch of people to donate money because this movie is going to really revolutionize everything. And then it's just a bad movie, right? Bad drama, bad movies, Saturday Night Live, bad Playhouse. And this is, you can't really tell, maybe, but it's called Kingdom Men Rising. I think that's backwards for you. And Tony Evans is the star, and it says Tim Brown, Kirk Franklin, Tony Dungy, Lecrae, Priscilla Schreier. Kingdom Men Rising? No. Okay. Which one doesn't fit in so far? Tony Evans, Troy Vincent, John Kitna, Jonathan Pitts, and Priscilla. So I don't know what they're trying to say there with Kingdom Men Rising. Maybe she's the spouse of someone or something like that. But Priscilla is also in there. And it's in nations, theaters nationwide, April 29th and 30th. KingdomMenRisingMovie.com. Tony Evan Films. Lifeway Films. Lot 35 production. Anyway, this is just if you can't use it for no-co fodder, I don't know how you could use it. So it's very discouraging to me. We're talking on No Compromise Radio about Hebrews 9 and things in the temple, things in the holy place and holy of holies that should make you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not quite ready to do that yet, so I'm going to pull up my little card here. I've got plenty of these cards. And since I've had a bad week, I don't know why I've had a bad week, but I'm just tired and listless and run down. Be perfect for a Lucy, I Love Lucy show. I do have strength through adversity cards. And these strength through adversity cards, you can see the five kind of glowing like a stereogram. And I need a boost. I just had a monster drink. That didn't do. I had a nap. That didn't do. Not feeling very good about myself. Find strength through adversity. So I picked this up random. I swear I picked it up at random. I promise. I give an oath. Oh, sorry. Don't make some of these oaths. So here's what it says in the back. All right, this is going to propel us into no compromise land. According to Robert Louis Stevenson, the saints are the sinners who keep going. Tell everyone about a time when you kept going. How about five energy? I don't. I should. If you'd send me some, I'd drink them, but then I'd be thinking maybe they're spiked with something that I ought not to do. So Joe Osteen said, Robert Louis Stevenson said, saints are sinners who keep going. Well, have you kept going? I think, as George Jones used to say, the only thing different than the sinners and the saints, one of them's forgiven and the other one ain't, right? Remember George Jones? I would have liked to have seen George Jones. I'm just keep going now, right? I'm just, when I have a bad day, a bad week, I just try to get as much done as I can anyway, because otherwise I feel bad about getting nothing done, and that will complicate my getting bad feelings done faster. The reason why worry kills more people than work is that the more people worry than work, said Robert Frost. Have you had an experience where hard work paid off? I've had an experience once where I worked really hard and got fired. Would that work, Joel? What else do we have here? I think Joel's well-read. Robert Louis Stevenson, Robert Frost. Is there another wonderful poet that starts with Robert? Who is Beretta? Who is Beretta? Robert, I don't know, Robert somebody. Beethoven's music teacher once chided him, "As a composer, you are hopeless. Do you have a passion or dream that someone has discouraged you from following?" I have to tell you that this is about the cheapest, less mentally taxing thing that I've ever seen in my life. That one goes in the throwaway pile with Christianity Today. They just quote somebody and then go, "Has that ever happened to you? Talk about it." You know, it's kind of some kind of psychological thing. Hebrews 9:5, above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Here's what we're talking about on No Compromise Radio today. The old covenant is not as good as the new covenant. The old covenant served its purpose, but it was to point to the new covenant. And the writer of Hebrews essentially says this, we're going to be known for what we're for, and we're going to be known for what we're against. And one of the things I love about the book of Hebrews, for all this kind of sappy, kind of just kind of weakling world we live in, well, I don't want to condemn anyone. I don't want to say anything bad about them. I want to be known for what I'm for, and we don't want to be like a discernment ministry. And I want to be very careful. And I'm just going to go around. Friends, I'm sure for the four of you that are watching, the No Compromise people, there's antithetical truth. If this is true, then this is false. There are Christ and Antichrist. There are apostles and false apostles. Have you seen the Calvinistic Sean Connery on Twitter? Oh, you've got to look at it. Calvinistic Connery. You'll pronounce it out loud and you'll laugh. There's propositional truth. And if this is true, that means this is false. And what does the writer of Hebrews do? He says, this old covenant system, Moses, Sinai, it's over, it's obsolete, it's vanishing, it's gone, it's done. And it's not very good because Jesus is better. Jesus is superior. And just to think about it, this is not some false system that's made up in the minds and machinations of some kind of, you know, person with, you know, eating peyote discs. This was from the mind of God, but it was meant to be temporary. It's meant to be pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that they might know when he got there who he was. And the writer is trying to say, we're known for what we're for and what we're against. How much more are we going to be against systems that have nothing to do with old covenant shadows and types? Well, here he says, the cherubim of glory now overshadow the mercy seat. You know, the lampstand that was in there, you're thinking, I am the light of the world. Not I am, but of course, quoting the Lord Jesus. When it comes to Aaron's rod and that it budded, this is the one who is the high priest. You can tell that this is God's choice. That's why Aaron's rod was in the holy place. You can also tell with the tablets, Jesus is the one that perfectly fulfilled them. We have not fulfilled the tablets, the Ten Commandments. We have not obeyed them, but the Lord Jesus has. So all these things are pointing, right? The manna and the golden urn. I don't know why whenever I think of urns, I think of cremation or remains in urns. Stephen said, Lent and Ash Wednesday. Got to keep the law and show my righteous work. Well, I have a friend, and maybe I've told the story before, but it is a fascinating thing. Just to show you about man-made religions, he told his mom, he was a teenager, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go to church. I want to go to Ash Wednesday service. And he went out and hung out with his girlfriend and was on his way home. And he thought, wait a second, I said to my mom I was going to go to Ash Wednesday service. I have nothing on my forehead. I have no cross with ashes or anything like that. What am I going to do? So he took a drag of his cigarette, put it out, put a forehead cross with his cool cigarette that he had extinguished. And it was cigarette ashes on his forehead and went home. And to me, that's just pictures, this whole thing. I need the real one who really did the work. And when it comes to Jesus in the mercy seat, he's the one that makes propitiation. He's the one that makes atonement. And when you think about it, you have the blood on top of the mercy seat because it covers those transgressions that were broken when you see the tablets on the inside. And so here in verse 5, it says, above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Above these things, we cannot speak in detail. So the mercy seat is essentially, it was not like a seat, like a chair, and I'm in this chair, but it's the lid. And you've got two cherubim facing each other over the top of the ark. And they are the ones made of gold on that lid of that propitiatory seat. And as Wendy just said, Christ Jesus is our mercy seat. And that's exactly right. And you can think of, can you not, Wendy, when that tax collector said, have mercy on me, the sinner. Be propitious to me. When you think of Isaiah chapter 6, and what was going on when Isaiah saw the glory of God, holy, 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 and that angel came, with those burning tongs and touched his lips, and it said, your sins are covered. That's the same word where we get mercy seat. Now, here's what Exodus 25 says about the mercy seat. And you shall take two cherubim of gold, a hammered work shall you make them on the two ends of the mercy seat. Make one cherub on the one end and one cherub on the other end. And do you notice how precise this is? God tells us exactly how to worship him. And when you want to worship your own way, you can think of Leviticus 10 with Nadab and Abihu. Exodus 25 goes on to say, the cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings, their faces one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I give you. That is the ark of the covenant, right? The response to who God is. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Therefore, here comes the Ten Commandments. And here's what it says about the mercy seat in Exodus 25. I mean, this is a great verse. There I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, and by the way, what do you get at a seat of mercy? Mercy. from between the two cherubim that are on the Ark of the Testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. What a great picture. Seriously, a picture of what's going on. Very visual, very pictorial. You have the lid of the ark called the mercy seat, which is the place of atonement. And of course, back in Hebrews chapter 4, it doesn't take you very long to go, throne of grace. Okay, I see it. Pure gold, cherubim, no longer on the east side of the Garden of Eden to guard the way of the tree of life, Genesis 3:24. But now we have these cherubim of glory. I love that verse in 1 Timothy. God alone is immortal and lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. No wonder the censer had to be in there with the smoke and refracting the light and the glory of this atonement cover glory at the mercy seat. What else do I have here that I want to say? Psalm 80, verse 1, O give ear, shepherd of Israel, you who does lead Joseph like a flock, you who art enthroned above the cherubim, shine forth. What a great verse. Did you get that? Psalm 80, verse 1. How about Psalm 99? The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth shake. Here we have the glory overshadowing, casting a shadow over that, knowing that this is where God's demands are satisfied, at least in picture form, before the Lord Jesus comes. And then what does the writer say? This is kind of cool. Of these things, cannot now speak in detail. Well, is he ignorant? Does he not know? Well, of course not. He knows. You read the book of Hebrews and you realize this man who's writing it understands the Old Covenant very, very well. But he's got something else he wants to talk about. He wants to talk about the Lord Jesus and 9/11 and his sacrifice and his eternal redemption and puring conscience and cleaning consciences and making them pure. And therefore, he says, I'm just not going to talk about it right now. I'm not going to give you all the little details that talk about Christ and his superior ministry when it comes to these things, because I'm off to talk about other things. I cannot speak in detail, even though I could. That's what he says. But here on No Compromise Radio, I want to speak in detail. I want to make sure I don't miss the pictorial representation of spiritual truths found in the holy place and the holy of holy place. That's why when I think about those, it just, without even looking at my notes, I'm thinking, manna, I am the bread of life. Lampstand, I am the light of the world. The Aaron's rod, that's my choice, the Father says, for high priest. The table, the covenant, we're the covenant breakers. He perfectly obeys the law because he had to add humanity, so he would then, as a human, obey the law. He is divine, therefore he can give me all of his divine righteousness. He is the one. He is the one that makes propitiation. 1 John chapter 2, propitiation for our sins as the advocate. All those things, you begin to think, that's right. I don't have to say, what does the tent peg mean? The tent peg means it gives stability to the tent. What does the blue pomegranate mean? No, these are here so that I think to myself, these are the ones where he wants me to know they have significance and they have symbolic prefigurements. That's the idea. When you read Hebrews chapter 9, 1 to 5, you ought to think symbolic prefigurements. This is what I should be thinking about of this Jesus who is to come. Spiritual representations of truths, shadows that point to something. And when you think about the tent in general, does not that tell you, oh yeah, Jesus is the true tabernacle. Remember in Mark chapter 14, we heard him say, remember the false witnesses, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Remember with Jesus, it says in John 1:14, and the word became flesh and what? Literally, tabernacled among us, dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. He pitched a tent. That's what it means in John 1:14. He lived in a tent. Where did God meet the Israelites in the Old Testament? In a tabernacle. In the tent. That's the place. That's where the presence of God was particularly manifest for the Israelites. And now we have Jesus, the Word became flesh, and tabernacled, a tent of meeting among us. How great is that? I mean, you just see how the Scriptures are put together and woven together in a great way. God, the triune God, sends the Son to tabernacle among us. That's interesting. How did you get to God, by the way? It was through the tabernacle. There was no other way in terms of his specially manifest presence. I mean, you can't contain the glory of God someplace, but it was specially manifest in the tabernacle. And there's only one holy of holy places. And that ought to remind you, dear Christian, that there's only one entrance to the tabernacle. There's only one place for who this God is to meet with, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the way. He is the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. John 10, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. John says that. In chapter 14 and 10, Paul says it in Romans 10, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. In other words, and only him, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't you love that? When you think of these prefigurements and these spiritual truths, you ought to be thinking when you read Hebrews 9. I mean, when I usually read Hebrews 9, get me to verse 11. I got to skip over 1 to 10. I mean, intellectually, I know not to, but experientially, I mean, I could ask you the question. I could ask Stephen, I could ask Wendy, I could ask Jen, do you have Hebrews 9, 1 to 10 underlined? Is there anything in there that you would underline? Well, of course, now you'd underline it, right? But I'm just looking at that. I'm thinking, oh, here we have the Ark of the Covenant. We have the golden urn. We have Aaron's staff. We have the tablets. We have the cherubim of glory overshadowing. This is all pointing to the Lord Jesus. This is all Jesus, the lampstand. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That lampstand reminds me of 1 John 1:7. Walk in the light as he himself is the what? Is in the light. That is amazing. By the way, in the New Jerusalem, it says, the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. I hate to say that's cool, but that's cool. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And when Jesus said that, by the way, the backdrop was so marvelous. You've got the Feast of Tabernacles going on, right? It says that because chapter 7, verse 10 says that he went to the Feast of Tabernacles. And what they would do back in those days, they would have water drawn from the pool of Siloam, and then they would light a huge menorah at the court of the women. And I don't know exactly where Jesus was when he said, I'm the light of the world, but in my mind, I could easily picture him standing in front of the huge menorah where the water was brought from the pool of Siloam. And Jesus then stands there and says, I am the light of the world. It's nighttime. There's that huge candelabra, the court of the woman, court of the women. And here we have Jesus say, I am the light of the world. I mean, they'd have a big party for that feast. There was not just one candelabra, but there were four large lamps, and people would be dancing, and people would be having torches and singing songs. And now Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And it's true. And you ought to be believing in him and rejoicing in him. Wouldn't that be a great scene? Wouldn't the false teachers just go apoplectic when it comes to this scene? Jesus is the light. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. What dispels darkness? What dispels spiritual darkness? We know it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lamp lighting ceremony? Yes. Jesus is the light of the world. Well, my name is Mike Abendroth. This is No Compromise Radio, or I am No Compromise Radio. I am you. And what you want to do is you want to study Hebrews 9, 1 to 10 and say, there are underlinable parts of this passage that I have not looked at until I've kind of seen in light of subsequent revelation, interpreting antecedent revelation. You can write us, mike@nocompromiseradio.com.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400.